Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
The second half of the baseball season is here, and each game means a little bit more. We're talking pennant races and wild card chases, with each pitch bringing us closer to the playoffs. The free Odyssey app lets you listen to live play-by-play of your local team, so no matter what you're up to, you'll never have to miss another game. Download the free Odyssey app today and keep baseball close by all summer long. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
And in this scenario, of course, heaven is represented by The Weeknd. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I am glad to be back. I definitely needed the time away. It was busy. In fact, I wouldn't say it wasn't restful, because I did sleep and spent some time in the pool and had good conversation with mom and lots of laughs with Bob and with his family. It was great to meet them for the first time. So it was an awesome trip. No travel problems. And so I promised stories. Bottom of the hour, you get some stories, peeps. And then we've still got Damar Hamlin back in pads. We've got Carly Lloyd and the U.S. Women's National Team at odds. But it's Team USA that's really floundering right now. So we'll get to that. Some QB news as well. And yeah, post-Major League Baseball trade deadline. It's our Hump Show After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us and send your questions for Ask Amy Anything now, just about 90 minutes away, on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page.
It's Blanco at second and Waters at first. Francisco Alvarez calls time and goes down to the mound for a mound visit. For this wild back and forth game to end, why not a balk from the seventh pitcher of the game before he even threw a pitch?
In case you're wondering, yes, it is in fact the first win via the walk-off balk in Royals history, and that's the call there on the Royals radio network. Whew. All right. We welcome Scott Miller, who is a contributor for the New York Times sports department, also Sirius XM MLB Network Radio, longtime insider and analyst and frequent guest here on After Hours, joining us from San Diego. My goodness. Let's start with the Mets, shall we? What is your reaction to what they've just done with two starting pitchers, a couple other key pieces, after setting a record for a season's worth of payroll in 2023?
It's the old cliche, but you cannot buy. It takes more than money to win a World Series, right? I mean, the Mets won 101 games last year. They had basically the same team coming back. I thought one of the key free agent signings last year, everybody talks about Justin Verlander adding him to Max Scherzer, but you know, there was a time, you think back to last winter, center fielder and leadoff man Brandon Nimmo was a free agent, and there was a time when people were wondering whether he'd be back. And when they signed him, I thought, you know, they really need him. He's key. Then they had Verlander, and then it all just blows up this year. I mean, you're right. The balk tonight, the losing closer Edwin Diaz in the World Baseball Classic. I mean, the season started, things started going south on the Mets even before the season started. And, you know, they obviously have to do something. I know if you're a Mets fan, you're probably angry and frustrated and questioning. But I don't see any other option. I mean, Atlanta's light years better than them.
Right.
So are the Dodgers. I think, you know, they did fairly well. Obviously, they're paying a lot of Verlander and Scherzer's salary, they essentially went out and bought themselves some prospects. So, it'll be important that they hit on those prospects in the next year or two.
I will confess, I laughed out loud when I saw that Justin Verlander is going back to the Houston right. Astros. Why didn't they just sign him in the first place if this is what they wanted?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, had they done that, then they would have kept their number one prospect, the outfielder that they sent to the Mets. They'd still have him in their farm system.
Right.
Baseball works in crazy ways, and credit the Astros for whether it's admitting a mistake by not re-signing Verlander or whether it's simply, going out and getting the best starting pitcher on the market. Whatever it is, I mean, he's going to help. I mean, obviously, he's key in postseason. He knows his way around. He doesn't shrink from the moment. And once he came back, he had the slow start this year. He was on the injured list for the first few weeks of the season. But he's pitched pretty well since then. And he's going to be a big help. And, also, by the way, fitting on a couple parts that, the Mets lose on a balk tonight and Houston, Framber Valdez, no-hitter in Houston. So what a day there to get Verlander and then get a no-hitter tonight.
As you mentioned, Framber Valdez with the third no-hitter of the season in the majors. And yes, the irony as they return Justin Verlander to a World Series team, even as they continue to try to track down the Rangers who pick up Max Scherzer. So which team right now do you think is better equipped to make a championship run, Scott?
It's looked all season like Texas, but, they've hit a rough spot the last 3 weeks. And I'd say Houston right now for a couple of reasons, Amy. One, the acquisition of Verlander, him and Framber Valdez, and Christian Javier, they just continue to pitch and pitch and pitch in Houston. And they've got great pitching, and that's what wins, and that's why I go there. Now, second reason is I like Texas picking up Scherzer, and I think Jordan Montgomery, the lefty they acquired from St. Louis,
right,
is going to be an underrated acquisition. I think he's really going to help them. But I think what's going to hurt Texas down the stretch is that the injury to catcher Jonah Heim a week ago when he hurt his left wrist against Houston, and he's out for 2 or 3 weeks. He was the starting catcher in the All-Star game. He's having a career year. Offensively, defensively, he's really good in all areas. That left wrist, I don't like the sound of it. I was with with Texas over the weekend, and I know doctors have told Heim basically lay low for 2 or 3 weeks, and then you can play basically to tolerance of pain. It's a tendon in that left wrist, and if he can play this year, he'll get through the year, and then he's going to have surgery on the wrist. And playing with a bad wrist is not – I mean, that's asking almost the impossible in baseball. I mean, you need your wrist to hit. Catchers have to have their wrists. So he's going to have surgery this winter. And if not, if he tries to come back in 3 weeks and the pain is such that he can't play, then he'll have surgery during the season. So – I know they went out and got Austin Hedges today from Pittsburgh, Texas did, who, solid defense, cannot hit a lick. They're going to miss Jonah Heim, and that's why I say Houston over Texas.
We're excited to spend a few minutes with Scott Miller, who joins us in the wake of baseball's trade deadline from San Diego. He contributes to the New York Times and also Sirius XM. MLB Network Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just staying in the AL West for a second, what do you take away from what the Angels did and did not do at the trade deadline, Scott?
Yeah, I like that they were in buy mode, and they finally, after years, they finally at this time of year have a chance. I mean, they've still got to win some games, and they've got a hill to climb to get to the playoffs, but they're on the periphery, both the wild card race, and I don't know that they're good enough to catch Houston, but, stranger things have happened. And, going out and getting, Lucas Giolito to pitch, I think is good. Getting Grichuk from the outfielder from Colorado. I mean, they made a series of moves, and I like it. I thought 2 weeks ago, everybody's talking about, are they going to trade Ohtani? I never thought they would. They've been talking forever since Ohtani's been here about having a chance to win with him, and they finally do have that chance. And I know he's going to be a free agent this winter, but I'll tell you what, they are going to try to re-sign him. I don't know that they're going to be able to, but they're going to try. And if they can win this year, suddenly they have a better chance to re-sign Ohtani than people would have thought. And if they don't end up in the playoffs this year and he leaves to go elsewhere, I think with a player of that caliber, you've got to give it a shot to keep him. I don't know what they would have been able to get back in prospects. It's the old question, how do you value Ohtani? I mean, the pitcher he is, the hitter he is, there's no way they were going to get an equitable package back in prospects, not for a two-month rental. So you might as well keep him, and you get a draft pick for him, and if you lose him. And the other end of it is, you know, if you have a player like that, the best player in baseball history, they've got corporate sponsorship deals. They've got every game televised in Japan. I mean, there's some side money they make off of him that people don't talk about. And beyond that, just the Angels brand, you know, throughout Japan and throughout the United States. And if you trade a guy like that and you can't keep him, you might as well just close the franchise, you know?
Sky, that sounds very fatalistic. Let's hope they don't close the franchise, though they do need to get back to the playoffs for the first time since 2014 because it's been far too long. Right. Mike Trout, that whole time we haven't seen him in the postseason. All right, shifting to the NL West, I know you're in San Diego. This has got to be one of the more, we'll call it depressing surprises of the 23 season. What in the world is preventing the Padres from being a contender?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, they've got like the third or fourth best run differential in the National League, and yet they're not even .500.
Right.
And they've had the worst batting average with runners in scoring position all season in the majors. They have not hit in the clutch. Last night, they won tonight, but last night, Monday night, the series opener in Colorado, they lost in the 10th inning. That was kind of a microcosm of the season. Top of 10, they loaded the bases with nobody out. And they couldn't get a run. And then they lost in the bottom of the 10th, which sent them to 0-10 in extra inning games this year. They've 0-10, haven't won a game in extra innings, and they're not hitting with runners in the clutch. They're really squandering a really talented team and good pitching. And stranger things have happened. They're within the periphery of the wild card race. They can, you know, if they reel off a good run, you know, they need about a 3-week stretch where they go, you know, they get really hot and they can get themselves back in this thing. But the other stat that's crazy about the Padres is they've not won more than 3 games in a row all season. I mean, they just cannot get momentum going.
That's pretty crazy considering what they put out there and the way that they
were.
It was kind of a go big or go home type of mentality with the Padres. And we talked, you and I talked, going back to the offseason, Scott, and the Dodgers were one of the teams that really didn't do a whole lot. They lose Trey Turner, and then they have their entire starting rotation's been injured at one point or another. How were they staying on top of that division?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, that it speaks. It's a huge testament to that organization, the talent below the surface of the major leagues down in the minor leagues. You know, they've brought guys up like Emmett Sheehan that have contributed to the rotation in a disappointing season for Julio Urias and an injury-filled season. You know, Clayton Kershaw back on the injured list and Dustin May blown out and Walker Buehler not pitching because of the Tommy John surgery. You know, guys like, you know, Bobby Miller and Emmett Sheehan that they've called up and, you know, minor league, you know, young players like James Outman in the outfield. It's a testament to the depth of the franchise, I think. And also, can we please finally credit Dave Roberts? All we ever hear is criticism of that
guy.
Especially in October, you know, the Dodgers, when they don't, you know, they won the World Series in the pandemic shortened 2020 season. But otherwise, they get bounced in the playoffs. Everybody goes on and on about Dave Roberts made this mistake with a relief pitcher and that mistake with a relief pitcher. Dave Roberts is pretty darn good, and that's a reason as well that the Dodgers right now are doing what they're doing.
Scott Miller joins us from Southern California. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Cincinnati Reds are this really cool mix of young talent. They kind of remind me of what the Cleveland Guardians did a year ago. And right now, the Reds are on top of the NL Central. What stands out about the way that they have navigated this season to date?
Yeah, I mean, those young kids you mentioned. I mean, Abbott, the starting pitcher. Ellie De La Cruz is so fun to watch. You know, Matt McClain, they've made some good trades. They've got some young talent that's real. I love that a week ago they extended manager David Bell's contract for 3 more years. He deserves it. I mean, he's managed through some really difficult times, and here the Reds are looking like they've come out through the tunnel and, you know, the lights ahead. It's great to see. They're a fun team. All that young talent I mentioned, combination. They pitch well, and that young talent, I mean, they've got guys that can hit home runs. They're well-rounded. They run the bases well. You know, they go first to third. They're smart on the bases. They hit for average. They hit for power. They do a lot of things well, and that's a testament, as I say, not only to the young talent that they have, but you know, also to David Bell and his staff and the entire Cincinnati organization.
You talked about the Atlanta Braves earlier, Scott. They have had the best record in Major League Baseball going back now, even before the trade deadline. That crazy, was it a June surge that just blew away the rest of the division? Who is, at least at this point, the top contender or contenders against Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Dodgers right now, I mean, you know, we thought the Mets were going to be there. No, thought the Phillies maybe could get there. If so, they're going to have to, you know, improve quite a bit here in the last 2 months. It's almost like Atlanta and everybody else in the National League. Like I say, the Dodgers, I think, are probably the next best team. They need to get some healthy pitching by season's end, and Kershaw is supposed to be back here soon. Walker Buehler, after Tommy John surgery early last year, there's a chance he could come back and help a little bit in late September. He won't be stretched out. I mean, I don't think we should expect like starting pitcher ace Walker Buehler that goes 7 innings a game. But, you know, even if it's a couple innings out of the bullpen, if they can get to that point, I mean, that could be a wild card for the Dodgers. So it's Atlanta and everybody else. And the Dodgers, I think, have an outside chance to maybe derail them. I think that's the best chance right now. Of anybody to take down Atlanta.
All right, so that's the National League where the Braves rule the roost. How about the American League? We'll get to that coming up because it's the Orioles and the Rays atop the AL East that have the best record. So thank you, Scott. Stick around. They're in San Diego for the New York Times and SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Henderson skies this in the air down the right field line, heading for the corner. Springer out there, and that ball is fair, and it is gone. Gunnar Henderson hit one a mile high.
Here it comes, full count pitch. It's hammered way back. Forget about it. Grand slam number 2 on the year for Anthony Santander, and the Orioles have blown this one wide open with an 11-3 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Baltimore Orioles are one of the great stories of this 2023 season. And right now, atop the AL East, a division where every team is above 500, it's the O's and it's the Rays, who are sitting on 66 wins apiece.
Rays have a few more losses, but right now it is shaping up as a two-horse race in that division and potentially atop the American League as a whole. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and the Orioles Radio Network. Spending a couple more minutes with Scott Miller from San Diego for the New York Times and SiriusXM MLB Network Radio. You think about that race, the Orioles, the Rays, how this season has shaped out between the two of them now. What are a couple factors or maybe a couple players you think could tip the scales in this race one way or another?
Well, I think Baltimore's just done such a wonderful job after years of tanking, and it's nice to see good things happen for the baseball fans in that city. Jack Flaherty, interesting trade today, acquiring him from St. Louis. He's a guy about 3 or 4 years ago when he was in his early 20s, I thought he's going to win a Cy Young Award. He's this good. And he's never quite lived up to the billing. He's had a bunch of nagging injuries and just has not been able to show any consistency. And I think maybe the trade to Baltimore in a big-time winning atmosphere hopefully is going to help him and help Baltimore. I think he can – if they're going to win and go to where they hope to go, I think Flaherty's going to have to be a key. Certainly they've got, you know, between, you know, Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman especially. The franchise changed about a year ago when they called Adley Rutschman up from the minor leagues. And you can't say that about many young players just stepping into the major league pool for the first time, that they can have that big of an impact where they can change a franchise. But Rutschman is one of the very, very few who can and did do that. And it'll be interesting to see if the battery, when Flaherty pitches, if with Rutschman catching, if Rutschman's presence can kind of help boost Flaherty. So I think that's part of it. And then Tampa Bay has had some injuries to their rotation, but what worries me about them, and they have not been as good the last few weeks
right.
as they were the first few months. I think, you know, there's some signs of potential fraying in the bullpen. The one thing with Tampa Bay, they lean heavily on their bullpen because, you know, they don't want the starters to go third time through the order. And, you know, sometimes they'll play around with an opener and things like that. And when I looked a couple days ago, Tampa Bay, I think bullpen usage, their workload in innings pitched, I think they were fourth in the majors, I want to say, or third. So, in other words, they're toward the top of the list, and their bullpen has gotten a lot of innings so far this year. And they're going to have to figure out a way to make sure that bullpen is healthy and rested because, you know, the way it's going right now, there's a danger. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's a danger that, you know, when they're playing key games in September and then theoretically in the playoffs in October, danger that, you know, their bullpen could be gassed by the time they get there.
Right. Good point. Before I let you go, Scott, you used the word tanking about the Orioles the last few
yep.
years, and that brings me back to kind of where we started, which was the Mets trading off big pieces. But Max Scherzer makes waves with some comments about what he heard from the Mets on his way out of town, which is that, according to Max, the Mets are planning to use 2024 as a rebuilding year. We're not even done with 23 yet. And he says they want to use 24 as kind of a year that's a throwaway where they can see what they've got in all these prospects. Is this something that Major League Baseball will look into or no?
I don't think they will. I'd like them to. A couple things. I think, you know, I saw those Max Scherzer comments, and there is a difference between kind of being realistic and resetting your team and tanking. I mean, I wouldn't say, and again, this is if the translation for Max Scherzer is correct, the translation, his view of what the front office is doing. I mean, if they're looking to be competitive year after next and use next year as kind of a transition year, that, I mean, tanking is when you strip it down to the studs like Houston did back around 2010 and basically field a minor league team. And Houston lost 100-plus games for 3 or 4 years in a row. Baltimore did that recently. So, I mean, that's what baseball, I think, needs to figure out a way to avoid. You shouldn't be putting a minor league team on the field in any city. The Cubs did it for a little bit as they were building toward the 2016. And that's damaging to the competitive integrity of the game, which cuts right to the heart of the game. If you don't have integrity, then you have got big problems. You know, if the Mets, I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think you can do that in New York. I don't think a New York team would be allowed by its fans to go that route and you just strip down to where you're going to lose 100 games for 3 or 4 years while you try to just collect as many young prospects as you can. So baseball needs to, yes, look into that and figure out a way to discourage it. Where the Mets are concerned, it's hard to say. I mean, Scherzer and Verlander are older pitchers, and they weren't going to be around forever anyways. When they signed Verlander a year ago, they were basically all in on this year. And they put all their money, all their chips on the table, in the middle of the table for this year, and it didn't work. And so they've got to do something. And, it makes some sense that they try to get, that's why they paid so much money down on the Verlander and Scherzer contracts with Texas and Houston. Basically, the more money they pay, the better prospect they get. So they're basically buying better prospects. And it makes some sense to try to get some younger prospects and reset before you go full charge forward again. I don't think with Steve Cohen's money, we have to worry about the Mets cutting too deeply. They're not going to be one of the lowest payrolls in the game.
That would be drastic, to be sure. Yeah. All right. You can find Scott on Twitter at ScottMillerBBL, contributing to the New York Times, also SiriusXM MLB Network Radio analyst with great insight post-trade deadline from San Diego. Scott, it's always a privilege to have you on the show. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Just enjoy our conversations, Amy. Thank you. You take care. We'll talk soon.
Scott Miller, great insight. I like what he had to say about that Orioles-Rays race, but also I appreciate what he said, too, about the way the Astros kind of took the circuitous route to bring Verlander back when they could have had him, albeit for more money than they wanted to spend. So I guess there's a discount there. And how about what he said regarding Ohtani? That he likes the move by the Angels. Why? Because you're not going to get the value of Ohtani to a team in prospects. You're just not. There's no way that works out equitably. And so instead, you keep him and you hope that you can re-sign him because you make a playoff push. But if not, you know what you're doing? You're keeping fans engaged the rest of the way and you're also making side money. It's your side hustle with all the games that are taking place in Japan. So I thought that was really interesting too. And as for the Mets, we'll see whether or not baseball investigates. I kind of think they should because of the comments that Max attributes to Steve Cohen and Billy Epler. Marco Belletti's here in studio. I don't know. Do you think it's worthy of baseball paying attention to, or it's more of a wink, wink, nod, nod? They're not actually tanking. They're just rebuilding.
No, I don't even think they're rebuilding. I think all of that is eyewash. I think part of it's Scherzer making himself look better that, hey, I wanted to win. They're saying they're not going to win, so I had to move on. That's the only reason I jumped ship. And I think it's also the Mets telling Scherzer whatever the hell he wants to hear to get him out. They paid for the Rangers to take
him. Oh, because he had to waive his no trade clause. Yeah.
And whatever they felt like they had to say, because I have no idea what they told Scherzer. I don't know if any of that's true or not. I don't know if they said it just to make sure that he waived his no trade clause because they wanted him out. The idea that Steve Cohen,
devious,
who would spend that kind of money on prospects, because he bought a ton of prospects at the trade deadline. He ate a ton of money with Scherzer, with Verlander. The idea that he's going to spend no money for next year, I highly doubt this. This guy has been burning money since the day he bought the Mets. He's going
to
buy a rotation next year. He's going
to
buy a bullpen, and he's going to give it a shot. I'm not telling you it's going to be perfect. I'm not telling you it's going to be good. He's going to spend money. I don't think Major League Baseball is worried about Steve Cohen and the Mets in the least. That's their least. That of all the problems that Major League Baseball has, it's not the Mets. It's not Steve Cohen. He's going to go all in. Whether it works or not is a different story.
Baseball's got 99 problems, but the Mets ain't one. That's what Marco's saying. I like that take. The fact that they had to get him to waive his no trade clause. So you tell him what would make him want to get out of Dodge.
And that's even if what he's saying is true. Because I got to be fair. There's a lot of stuff that Scherzer said that made him the hero out of all of this, yeah. when in reality, he was one of the culprits as to yes. why the Mets were in the position that they're in to begin with.
And why they flamed out in the playoffs last year, too, after winning 100 games. So, yeah, there is that, to be sure. All right, you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. My Twitter, A-Law Radio, your thoughts. I know some of you have asked about the trade deadline, so we just did most of the last hour and a half on it. Going to pivot a little bit. TSA PreCheck, where have you been all my life? I'm totally in love. Stories from a toasty Houston visit. And our Facebook page, too, though. We'll take your questions for Ask Amy since it's an hour from now.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Never, ever, ever taking a pause. Never hitting the brakes. Drive it like you stole it. Something like that. Am I even close?
Hi, Amy. Love the show.
Hi.
I listen to you every night on the way home.
Amy, you doing your own thing with your own swag.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate the therapy tonight.
Oh, I'm glad I could help, Lee.
I just got home. Just want to let you know how big of a fan I am because I've been sitting in my car listening to your show. Waiting to talk to you on the phone for about 30 minutes now.
Take me home tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In fact, as we hit top of the hour, it's dead center of our work week. We still have a lot to cover on this edition of After Hours. Send your questions to either Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page. Ask Amy Anything is 1 hour from now, and I will actually retweet the bright orange box. I feel like anyone who has ever followed the show for any, even a short length of time, which why would you do that? Of course, you would be following the show permanently once you start, whether it's a sick fascination, I'm just kidding, or you actually really love what we do here. And I tell people, give us 2 weeks and we'll win you over. Begrudgingly or not, we will win you over. So send your questions for Ask Amy. We always have new people and new questions every week, even though this is now our longest running feature at 10 years plus. It is, let's see, it's the type of thing that kind of it takes on a life of its own every week. And with the various producers that I've had asking the questions, of course, taking them from your samples, each one kind of takes on a different theme. Jay happens to be really big on food and travel and loves the some of the holiday themed question as well. So we'll see what he comes up with. I told him producer Manny is gunning for his job, so we better watch out. It's After Hours. Yeah, here on CBS Sports Radio. He loved it. He wrote two full pages of notes to get ready for Ask Amy to the detriment of the show because I would look up and ask him for something else and he'd be paying no attention. He'd be busy in there writing down questions by hand. All right, where shall I start? How about the beginning? Because those of you who listened last week, you know that I was really stressing out over travel issues, trying to get from Newark to Houston. I had to go through Dallas. There were thunderstorms in the area. Do you know, after I made essentially the deal, I negotiated with God, or as Jay calls it, the airplane gods, because I don't know what they look like, but I'm sure they're very real. He and I had this conversation on our last show, would have been last Wednesday night into Thursday morning, where I said, here's the deal. If my planes, because there were two of them on Thursday morning, or actually it was Thursday afternoon, if they both get to their destinations on time and I arrive in Houston when I'm supposed to, I will not complain about the heat the entire time. So, of course, Bob listens to the show and hears me say that and thinks this is hysterical. So thankfully, the storms dissipated in New Jersey. There was no rain until much later in the afternoon. There were no storms. The airline had actually warned about severe weather, but nothing like that at all. So we took off from Newark, landed in Dallas early, actually. Instead of having an hour and 20-minute layover, I was there for almost an hour and 45 minutes. We were really early. And then was able to get from Dallas to Houston on time, had a checked bag. It was in the overhead both times. Didn't have to leave it at the end of the jetway. So it was really easy, except for the fact that I've been up for 30 hours. It was great to be able to walk out of the airport. Bob picked me up. I was on time. Lots of smiles and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I could not complain about the heat the entire time. So I kept saying, man, it's cold here. Oh, it's so cold here. And he would howl like a hyena every single time I said it. And so then a couple times we were out in the heat for an extended period of time. One of them was actually my suggestion. You guys are, you're just going to think even more than ever that I'm some crazy chick. I'm in training for another half marathon. It's coming up in 7 weeks. I could not avoid running while I was there. So I asked Bob, hey, how do you feel about a workout Saturday morning early? So 7:40, we leave my mom's house. He rides his bike in her hilly neighborhood. I run. And for the first 20 minutes, the street where I ran, the hill I ran, was entirely in the shade. So it was a little bit cooler. Oh, by 8:15, the temps were already in the 90s with 1,000% humidity. And so by the final, let's say, 3/4 of a mile, Bob is biking back and forth, right? He's doing all the different streets in my mom's neighborhood. And every, I don't know, a couple minutes or so, he would fly by me and I'd wave. And by the last time he biked by me, I could barely smile because the heat and the humidity were so heavy. And I was still doing hills and it was crazy. So he rides by me and holds out this ice cold bottle of water. Like, no, I gotta finish this.
I don't fear sudden death.
I got a quarter mile left. I gotta keep going, babe. And so I did, but I'm not sure. You wanna hear something funny? This is how crazy, like, hot it was and humid. I start sprinting. I think I saw a mirage or I was just seeing things. I start sprinting to my mom's mailbox because this is how I finish up half marathons. I always kick, no matter what. If I trip and fall over the finish line, at least I finished faster. I sprint, I go, like I'm done, right? And that's it. I'm going to walk up to the house. I start to stretch in the driveway and realize it's not my mom's house. I had sprinted to the wrong house.
Oh, no.
Because I was so eager to be done. I had sprinted to her neighbor's house. Now, thankfully, we know her neighbors and it was fine, but really funny that I thought I was done. And then I look up and I'm like, oh, it's the wrong freaking house. So I just walked from there. I was not running again. I walked from there.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I did 49 minutes in what was probably 1,000% humidity. Ran in Houston in the dead of July. I've never done that before. That will forever be one of my greatest athletic achievements. No matter what else happens, that will forever be one of my greatest athletic feats. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. Oh, travel. Actually, before I forget, TSA PreCheck. It is a dream come true. This is what I'm getting Jay for Christmas this year. I'm telling you, it's life-changing. It's magnificent. I'm in love with TSA PreCheck. So Tuesday morning in Newark, I was through security. I'm not kidding you. First of all, my line had nobody in it, like as in nobody. I walked into my line. I couldn't figure out where it was either, clearly, because I can't read signs. I'd been up for a long time. Anyway, I walk right up to the TSA agent who takes my license, looks at my boarding pass, waves me through. I'm in, like, through on security. No shoes off, nothing out of my bag. All I had to do was take stuff out of my pockets and put it on the belt. I am through security in 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
Stop.
I swear to you.
No shoes off, no electronics out,
nothing,
right through.
No toiletries, no nothing. All I had to do was take my phone out of my pocket and put it in one of those smaller little bins, not really a bin, smaller little bowls. And it was through, and my bag was through. I picked it up on the other side, and that was it.
That's it? Have a good day? Have a good flight?
Yeah, seriously. They look bored. They didn't even bother to, like, ask me anything. And so, anyway, so that was my experience in Newark. On the way back, so this is kind of crazy. I don't know what's going on in Houston. There must have been some early flights, international flights. It is summertime. People are trying to get out of Houston. I don't know. Anyway, Spirit Airlines had about 300 people in line at 6 o'clock this morning. I've never seen anything like it. I had prepaid for a checked bag, and after I printed the tag, the lady said you have to get in that line to drop your bag. Hell no. What is the point of prepaying for a checked bag if I have to stand in line with 300 people? So I said, well, I'm just going to have to take my chances. If it goes through security, which I knew it would because I was pre-check, if it goes through security, I'm just going to try to take it on the plane. It was a carry-on anyway. There was nothing in it, really. So it gets through security. Once again, TSA pre-check this time, there are 5 people in line.
Oh, no.
There was a woman with her baby. I helped her fold up her stroller. This time it took me 4 minutes to get through security.
Poor thing.
Oh my gosh. I was really stressing out over it.
Incredible.
4 minutes. 4 minutes, Jay. It was, what in the world was I doing not registering for pre-check?
And that's like a long time. 4 minutes. Unreal. That's awesome.
So anyway, I get down there and I'm thinking, shoot, I don't, because it actually says in my boarding pass, Spirit's very strict about this. You have to prepay for check or they actually charge you for carry-ons. They're very a la carte. They don't give water. They don't give anything that you don't pay for. You pay for your ticket, you pay for your seat, and then anything else is on top. So my boarding pass very clearly says no carry-on bag because I was supposed to have prepaid for the check bag and dropped it. But I'm in zone 2. I'm probably the 4th person on the plane. It's a younger guy. And I walk up and there's no one around. The senior gate agent is over on the microphone. So he's by himself. And I said to him, hey, there was 300 people in line. I didn't drop my bag. I'm so sorry. He goes, just take it on the plane. Take it on the plane. And so I just thanked him profusely and walked on the plane and didn't have to part with my bag. Or they didn't send me back to the line with 300 people.
Good.
I think I told Jay this, but I'm pretty sure that about a dozen people missed the flight because they came on the air over the, the loudspeaker in the plane and said, it's a very full flight multiple times. This is Spirit again from Houston to Newark direct. Very full flight, very full flight. And so it was supposed to be full. No one sitting next to me. I was by the window, 2 empty seats next to me. And then across the aisle, another empty seat. There were empty seats up front. There were empty seats in back. And initially the pilot said, hey, we're going to sit here for a couple of minutes. We think there's some people stuck in security. And then 2 minutes later, he's like, hey, we're going to take off. And so they, I'm no doubt that there were dozens of people that missed the flight because of that Spirit. 300 people in line at 6 o'clock in the morning. What? Seriously, something's wrong. We're doing something
Sounds
wrong.
Sounds like you had a dream travel day, though.
I did. I was very thankful for the travel to and from Houston and the heat. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.